The good oil for Penrite today. Penrite Oil, Australian owned and trusted for more than 90 years. Visit penriteoil.com. Nick Riebold is here. He's about to speak once he gets that yogurt out of his gob. I'm going to cross back to the Masters. The head of football at Carlton, Brad Lloyd, is going to join us as well. So lots going on. Whispers, the best conversation starters for Kia with Australia's best 7-year factory warranty.
Yes, and whoever sent that text in, he's my least favourite umpire as well.
Welcome to you, Rui.
Thank you, boys.
Nice to see you.
Good weekend. Good weekend.
It's always. It's, as I keep saying to Tim, it's this competition is getting condensed by the week.
Yeah, tipping is a nightmare, and just the quality of games, I know the scoring hasn't been high, but there were some rippers on the weekend. Port Adelaide-Richmond was one of the most enjoyable games I've ever been at. Oh, just in terms of the build-up. So we're getting great access at the moment as commentators, getting to speak to the coaches before the game.
Yeah.
So we went down and spoke to Dimmer, to Damien Hardwick, and you could just sense he was on edge. That young players, young group, will they be able to plug into the system that has been so successful for them? And then we went across and spoke to Ken. I mean, the difference was pretty stark in sort of the attitudes of the coaches, and I'm not sure if they're latently like that, but it was just a great insight. And then you almost felt like you're a little bit of a part of what was about to happen, having gotten to speak to the coaches and to see the way they embraced each other after the game, and then we're at the airport after the game and flew back with the Richmond team and the coaches were there. It was nice to have that insight again after 2 years out of the game.
You know, when you sat down with Hardwick, or you spoke to Hardwick before the game, did he sort of give you the idea about the tactics that they were going to employ, that type of thing? Like, did they go into much detail or not?
Without betraying any
that's
confidences.
Okay.
It's more about sort of some of the new players that are coming in that we don't know too much about. I mean, that they obviously keep their powder dry in terms of the tactics that they're going to employ in the game, whether they have anything specific for the opposition. But it's more about them and their players and what they're trying to do.
Did you think that Richmond returned to the old Richmond of a couple of years ago, or at their best even last year at the weekend?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you could sense that the players were feeding off the spirit that forward pressure was creating for them. And that hasn't been there the first part of the season. I think they were the number one last year and 18th so far this year in forward half pressure differential. So that was back for the Tigers. They didn't do anything special in terms of their ball movement. It wasn't pretty. They got it in. They got it to a predictable spot, and then their smalls got to work. Tom Lynch played a magnificent game, only his fourth game for the club, and I got the feeling that solidified him as a Richmond player.
Here's a revelation for football people. If you play your big, tall, key forwards roughly somewhere near the goals and have them as a get-out target, there's the odd chance that they might actually mark it close enough or near enough to the goal, and he might actually kick it straight, as opposed to Carlton playing four big, tall forwards and continually kicking it to Michael Gibbons. We'll get to them in a moment. His fitness and lack of preparation is working for them, because they don't want him any further away while the rest of them aren't there. And I see watch games every single week, four or five times a weekend, and watch the big key forwards wander away from the area where they're supposed to do their best work.
I've got a feeling you're passionate about this.
Nick, seriously, I mean, this man, and I saw Carlton last week and again this week, and I suppose they're at the front of mind, but for whatever reason, he's anchored a bit and it works for
him. Yeah, well, he read it really well. And with the runners not being able to get out there, he had to identify this himself within the game. But for a large period of that last quarter, Richmond couldn't get it out. So the last quarter, Port Adelaide had 19 inside 50s to Richmond 8. Mm. So Port should have done better with their opportunities. So their defenders played really well, Grimes and Stack and these blokes intercepting. But Lynch read the play, and he could tell after a period of time, we're not getting it out here. So what did he do? He trotted up to the wing.
That's fine.
He took the mark.
I remember you boys talking about
it. He turned around, and then he hammered back towards goal and ended up hitting the scoreboard 5 goals in the second half. So, yeah, you're right. And it's probably been forced on them a little bit by the fact that he's not at 100% fitness, and he's not covering the ground as well as he can, but he still covers it so well for a massive unit. He is such a big man.
Jack Riebold comes into back into that side this week. Willie Nick or
well, there's a 4-day break into an Anzac.
That's going to hurt him.
Game. So yeah. That's going to hurt him. I suspect they'll play.
Okay,
him
is that's still going to be a work in progress? The two of them playing, because their combination when they were at their best, their premiership best, it was one tall, and then there was like the medium
Caddy.
Yeah, and then there was the four smalls.
Yeah. So that's for them to figure out, obviously, isn't it? Because Dusty's been spending a fair bit of time up there as well. So what they lose, you obviously gain a lot in the ability to win aerial contests with Lynch. We know Dusty's great one-on-one in marking contests because he usually is on a smaller opponent. But Dusty's not great on at ground level in terms of applying pressure. Tom Lynch, it's not natural for him. Mm. He did some good stuff on the weekend and bought into it. But that's going to be the balancing up for the Tigers. We could say on the weekend, back to the one tall and they get their pressure back.
It's going to be a good challenge for them. What about Port then? What do we make of Port? So Port Adelaide have got an opportunity. They're playing Richmond when they're at their most vulnerable on their home deck and can't get it done.
Yeah, really, really disappointing result for Port Adelaide. They the game was set up for them to win. With that many Richmond players out, guys that hadn't been a part of the system for a long time, and to have such dominance in that last quarter, 19 inside 50s to 8, they got their opportunities. But the most critical aspect that Richmond did really well all game, Port didn't create a contest in that last quarter. The amount of intercept marks, so Dylan Grimes took 4 in the last quarter, Sydney Stack took 2, and they just continually kick the ball to Richmond.
So, again, does this get back to structure then, what we were talking about earlier in terms of where was Westhoff? Where was Ryder?
Yeah.
If you keep kicking the ball in, surely between the two of them, they have to – I don't even care if they mark it, but you can't have the opposition mark like
it was,
that.
It was both. It was poor disposal, and it was also no understanding between the kicker and the bloke getting on the end of it. So that was a really badly missed opportunity for Port and a game that, you look at them on paper and I know they've put a lot of stock in their kids. So Rosie was quieter than he was the week before. Mm. Dersma did some nice thing. Butters wasn't as good as he has
been. But they're not.
And that's going to happen to their kids. So that's where you really want, Wines, Pau Pepper and these boys to stand up. Robbie Gray, there's not much more Robbie Gray can do. He's an exceptional talent. But, when their kids aren't firing at the moment, they haven't performed that well, Paul.
It's a big couple of weeks for them because there's a little bit of after we thought they'd taken a big step forward, there's a little bit of a smell of last year about it. So we'll watch with great interest. Tell me about we'll do Carlton now. Actually, we want to do Carlton now, Whispers?
Yeah, I want to play.
They're going to dominate a lot of conversation.
Yeah, we'll have some conversation about Carlton. Let's just play what Brendan Bolton had to say post-game.
No, we will. We'll play it in a moment. But are you putting this down, Carlton, to personnel? Are you putting it down to coaching? Where do you see the issue here with this Carlton team, who are supposed to have taken a bit of a step forward this year, yet remain winless after 4 rounds?
Yeah. I think you can win. You can win as a group and go forwards, or you can win and go backwards. And the same can be said for losing. You can lose and go backwards as a group, and you can lose and go forwards. I think they've gone forward as a group, Carlton, this year. I know they are sitting 0-4. We're talking about a team that has been horrendous for a long period of time. They won 2 games of footy last year. Now, the supporter base and all of us as commentators are impatient, and we want to see them start to capitalise on their opportunities and win games of footy. But their percentage was 59 last year. Their percentage is 79 this year. They've played Richmond. They've played some good teams. Now, absolutely, you should go up to the Gold Coast, and that is a game that they would like to have won. But the Gold Coast have beaten two other teams this year as well. So I'm putting it down to the organic growth and path that they're on. Could they have won all 4 of the games that they've been in? And I look at that as growth compared to last year when they were just getting smashed off the park every week. So look, I understand the frustration, I understand the disappointment, and particularly from Carlton supporters. But I don't know if Brendan Bolton is a good coach. I know that he's. The players seem to love him, and people will say, well, then you've got to turn around and you've got to win games of footy. But from what I've been exposed to, he's got the group. He's really clear in his messaging. I've been out to Carlton training and watched –
He's got seven wins.
I think they're on the right track still.
7 wins in his first year, 6 wins in his second, 2 wins in his third year. Yep. They haven't kicked over 100 points in a game. It's been 59 games since they've scored over 100 points in a game.
Yeah, I understand all that.
So it's, but when you say you think that's what you're going to get thrown back at you.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
Are they organised enough? They talked about the lack of connection post game, and he talked about their inability.
They're not very good. They're not very skillful. That's the other.
That's what he talked about post game, about their inability to be able to execute their skills under pressure, or not even yesterday. It was without pressure a lot of the time. They were unable to. If you look at their forward line though, at the beginning of that game, if you look at the players that they had in their forward line and compared it to the other end of the ground, you'd say, okay, they've got a huge advantage, Carlton, in this game today.
Yeah, you would.
But they didn't seem to be able to play a style of football whereby they were taking advantage of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a breakdown somewhere. So there's a breakdown in the messaging from the coach to the players. Is the messaging right? Is the messaging wrong? Are the players not adhering to it? So there's all of that that can occur within a game of footy.
Okay, but you're saying you're not worried about where they're at.
I'm not worried about them.
You're still seeing all these green shoots, and you think, okay.
I like the journey that they're on. I like the direction that they're heading. I think I've said this before. I don't look at Carlton and see their ability to score is an issue, clearly. But I think that can be fixed. I mean, it can be a simple
fix.
Yeah. Well, that's okay.
59 games.
It's not easy to turn around where they've been from. But I've seen growth this year. This year compared to last year, I know they're 0-4, but it's a better 0-4 than it was last year.
I'm not totally disagreeing with you in terms of, because 2 weeks ago we sat here, both of us, and said we don't mind what they're putting together. So we're not too far off the same page. They have got a horrendous system when they go forward.
Yep.
And one of the problems they've got, I think, having watched them live last week and on the telly this week, I think they put them down there. They go, there's McGovern, there's Casbolt, there's Mackay, and then Kurnow came back this week. And they throw them in. They go, that's a forward line capable. There is no system.
Mm.
Kurnow plays the high roam. That's what, he can run and run and run. You don't know where McGovern's going to be. You don't know where Mackay's going to be. Mackay's the deepest contestant, Mark. They need clearly defined roles. And in the end, what I saw yesterday was McGovern looked like the only one to me who looked capable of reading what was happening up the field and hitting up and leading at the footy. Play him as a full forward. Play him as old-fashioned, deep full forward who's going to hit up the ball.
And where do you play?
Have Mackay as your long-out option. He's the best contested mark in the competition. Let Kurnow roam up and let Casbolt push up to the wings and be your conduit if you want. Give them defined roles. From what I've seen in 2 games, those forwards, they throw them down there and go, good luck, and let's see if you can work it out.
They're falling into what a lot of young key forwards do, and that's you end up far too high on the ball because you're desperate to get it, and then you end up almost next to the kicker. So the art of playing forward is to understand when you're not in a position to get the footy and give the kicker something else. So don't continue to come at the kicker when it's clear he's not going to kick it to you, and almost over-accentuate the fact that you're on a lead and you haven't been used. So
if I'm a Carlton fan watching that game, particularly that last quarter, I'm throwing something at the TV wondering why it is that every time they're going forward, they're kicking it to Gibbons, the smallest player in their forward line.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Yeah, tried to explain. There's 4 talls with no clear defined role. Therefore,
they're misreading it. You're saying the forwards are misreading the pattern of play?
Well, of course. Or they've been given no clearly defined areas of the ground. They go, here, work it out.
Yeah, but if you're a forward, I mean, both of you guys, you'd be saying to Gibbons, get out of my way. That's where I'm leading to. What are you doing in my space?
We would, but we're talking about blokes that are really young, probably lacking a little bit of confidence because they haven't been able to deliver it consistently. So that happens. And a quarter of footy now, without the influence of the runner, it's very, very difficult for a young player to understand that and the cut and thrust of a game of footy.
Here's some frustration as we go to a break. I was at Metricon. Big Harry Mackay was hanging around the centre large parts of the game. Stay in the square, mate. I'm with you. A break. We'll come back with more after this. Welcome back. Great to have your company. Nick Revolt with us. 1-300-736-736. You can text 0433-98-1116, as a lot of you are doing. Appreciate it. Love your feedback and input into the program. Pre-season predictions are fraught with danger. They're probably a mindless exercise, but everyone does them because that's what we do. And Adelaide Crows were what came out of the pre-season predictions was an Adelaide with a buzz team almost across the board.
Yeah, got me.
Where are they now, Nick?
So that was the question, wasn't it? Was 2018 the aberration? The down year, 2017 is looking like the aberration, where they were able to just play this breathtaking footy, this lead-up, uncontested style where they hit up through the wings and link up with hands and then get out the back of – it's the turnaround for the Adelaide Crows, the fall from grace has been extraordinary. And people look to the scars of the grand final, the pre-season, the tumultuous camp and losing, you know, Lever and the fallout, you know, amongst the playing group, and they just look like shells of themselves, really. They're all at sea in terms of their connection. And it's, I'm looking mainly at the forward half, the midfield forward half. It doesn't look like they have a plan B. That's what it looks like. Either they don't have one or they're not capable of adjusting to a different style. So I saw the Hawthorn game against Adelaide over there, and Hawthorn just found a way to win in contests, to surge. We know they like to possess the ball, and when it was clear that wasn't going to work, they just went to a contest style, and they bailed out down the line, they got numbers, they won it, and they surged it. Adelaide continued to play the same way, and it didn't work for them then, and it didn't work for them again on the weekend. And the thing that I see amongst their forward line is they don't really have – they're all nice players, but they don't have a forward that's prepared to crash a contest, to crash a pack, and bring the ground level players into it. That's what I see.
I think if we replayed last week's conversation, that would be the same point. And that's not having a crack at you. I'm saying, so Tim, these are the same things that have been said about Adelaide for a long time. The Pike hasn't got a game B, that they're predictable, that their forwards are all lead up type, that like it lace out, but there's no monster that wants to stand under it. And that was what happened again on the weekend.
They're predictable and they've been unimaginative in the way that they've gone about trying to play. And if you go back to when they were at their best, they were getting all their run and free ball from half back. Like they had, you know, like they had Smith and Laird and those guys, those running guys, were creating a lot of free flowing football for them across half back and that rebound football, which enabled them to get the ball quickly into their forward line where those guys found space. You know, you had that connection with Lynch playing up high. The other guy, we marvelled at that forward line. We used to talk about this forward line being the best forward line in the competition because way they separated everybody, the time, the space, all that type of thing. They had the best connection.
You are right.
Now they've lost that connection.
Okay, so everyone knows it except for the coach.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's the story right
now. Everyone's gone to school on them and said, okay, this is how you pick them apart, and they haven't been able to then reimagine themselves.
You said it. Nick said it, but people I respect, both in footy, I've heard others say it. So why can't Don Pike recognise it?
Because, he needs to recognise it.
This is where it gets really difficult sitting on the outside, has he recognised it and the players aren't prepared to play that way? It could be one of those two things, Gary.
Not so, from the way that their forward structure sets up, though. It's the same.
Yeah, well, they want to play how they want to play. That's clear. And when the free flowing stuff wasn't available on the weekend, it became the slow, uncontested, still trying to play perfect footy and not willing to take on a contest. So that's either instruction or it's either we don't have the cattle and we aren't prepared to play that style of game from the players.
So Josh Jenkins, who cops a lot of
heat, he's been okay this year.
Yeah, he's awful the other night.
Was he? Yeah, he's probably Tom Lynch. I think he's he's that sort of player. He's a conduit. He gets
does
up the
Tom,
ground.
He does what Tom does.
That's right. Yeah. And he's been
fine.
Josh is a whipping boy, and I actually think his earlier stuff in the season has been okay. It's been okay. He's he's a half forward flanker though. Yeah. He's not going to be.
So is Taylor Walker. Yeah. And texted the two most magical things on the ground on Saturday night.
The kick on the left foot.
Yeah, and the underground handball into the
Early in the game.
Apart from that, So he's a half-forward flanker. Josh Jenkins is a half-forward flanker. Tom Lynch is a half-forward flanker. And Eddies is an ageing superstar genius who can't do the things that he once did. And now you arrive at that point and you go, well, how can we add to that?
Yeah. Well, they need to change, and they need to be prepared to start jumping into packs and bringing the ball to ground. So
I don't think they can.
So it sounds simple, but, you know, we can't all play like Wayne Carey. Well, I understand that, but at some stage you need a player when things aren't working to be able to bail out to bring the ball to ground and give your team an actual
chance.
You
know who it might be? It might be Sam Jacobs, who can take a contested mark, and they may have to play the boy Riley in the ruck for the rest of the season, and Jacobs be the tool get out. Let's get some news headlines. We'll come back with more footy after this. Thank you, Meredith. Nick Revolt with us. We're going to do quickly Essendon, the turnaround. You've got 1 minute to tell us, Wispy, how they did it.
Well, they did it beautifully. That's what they did. I mean, they looked all at sea in the first two games of the year. They looked like they had no connection. They looked like they weren't quite sure how they were supposed to defend. And now, after their win against Melbourne, they looked... For me, the game was played the way that they want to play their football. They played against Melbourne, who plays on the pace, and then they played against Brisbane, who play on the pace as well, which enabled them to turn the ball over and get that slingshot-type football. They've got great speed on the outside. I think they're a better MCG side now than they're a Marvel Stadium
side. Did I hear Dyson Heppel say it's taken us a couple of weeks to get used to the system?
Yes, that was after they said that they didn't have a new system. So I think there's been some bedding down of a new style that they're trying to implement with their defensive side of their game. Mm. Their attacking part of their game was really good at the weekend.
Yeah, it was. What it looked like the first 2 weeks, it wasn't just that they couldn't defend. It looked like they were that consumed with what they were meant to be doing.
Yeah.
They couldn't do anything else either. So it takes a lot to make a transformation like they've made. At 0-2, the eye test, the way that they were playing, it looked like it was going to take weeks for
looked
them to
awful.
Work. Yeah, it looked horrible. So you've got to give them credit and look to the leaders. And we spoke about this last week with Dyson Heppel and Merritt and those guys, the way they were able to set the scene. Well, then the rest of the team's jumped on their back now, haven't they? So
yeah.
Tip and Woody was magnificent on the weekend. He had a really poor start to the season. So, gee, it's a great game when you've got confidence and you can just start to ride that wave.
We're losing Nick a little earlier this morning. He's got another commitment, which we're not happy about. Not one bit happy about, but we'll accept it. So we'll take an earlier break.
It's a company decision. It's not mine.
Tell me after this about St Kilda. Saints fans, stay listening. Rui on the Saints next. And Nick Revolt's with us. The cooler of the year. You can win a Toyota Hilux SR5 owner Toyota. Download the My Toyota app today. Nick's got to depart shortly. So let's get into the Saints. A lot of St Kilda people saying, hey, where's our respect? Everyone had us down the bottom two at 3-1. Let me say this. Alan Richardson copped it in the neck when they're going badly, and now that they're having a little bit of success, it's all Brendan Lowe and it's all Brett Ratten. Well, that might be right to some degree, I don't know, but the coach wears it when they're going badly, so I say well done to Richo.
Yeah, they're playing really good footy. The turnaround has been significant. You know, we've just spoken about teams having to adapt and play a different style, and they have completely overhauled their game plan in the off-season. So they were number one last year from play on from a mark. They're number 18 this year. Mm-hmm. They were number 18 last year in sort of the corridor, long kicks down the line. Now this year they're number one. So what they've done is they've really simplified their game plan. They've identified that they don't have great kicks coming out of the back half, particularly with Robertson and Carlisle not there, who are great interceptors and users also. So they've just simplified it. We're not going to take huge risks coming out of the back line, because if we do and we turn it over, which they did a lot last year, exposed, and they're defensively playing really strong footy, they're a good contest team. So they're playing to their strengths and getting good results.
Sounds a little bit like the Richmond stuff when they go to the back half.
Yeah, it sounds pretty similar, doesn't it?
Which has got a bit of Brendan Lado over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's nothing wrong with this, though.
No,
is it?
This is great.
This happens in world sport, though, where you bring people into your organisation.
No, but
you borrow their intel and you say,
yep,
okay, what's a better way for us to play defensively? What's a better way for our mids to set up, our forwards to set up? And you know, like this is a copycat competition that we have,
yep,
where the intel just floats across the competition. And you know, if you're smart enough to pick it up and then you can actually implement it in your team, There's nothing wrong with that to improve your team.
No, that's absolutely right. And but the major difference for me from watching, and it's a small sample size, but 3-1 is fantastic and could be 4-0.
Mm.
The effort's back.
100%
like effort. At various stages, the Saints got criticised last year, and it was about system this and come on. It was the effort last year wasn't great, and when you lose your spirit and it becomes a really tough slog of a season. It's hard to get back. It can be hard to get back. But the effort so far this year, that was a brutal game of footy yesterday.
That was very physical, that game of footy.
10 blood rules. Yeah. Blokes coming off injured everywhere. So,
and you found yourself at Ruckman too. Over the weekend, Ruckman have been really important across the competition for sides that have performing well. Marshall looks like he is going to be an excellent ruckman.
Yeah, he's a great contest player. His follow-up work's really good. He's good around the ground. He kicks it beautifully. He can catch it. So he can do all the things that you want a ruckman to be able to do. He just needs to play. He just needs to play a lot of games of footy. I tell you what, it was a real trend over the weekend was teams getting smashed in hitouts. And the Saints got beaten badly yesterday, but winning clearances. So I reckon we need to do a bit of an audit on the ruckman, Gary. Brody Grundy absolutely dominated in the hitouts, and it was only late that the midfielders started to fit. We talk a lot about the midfield forward connection, ruckman midfield connection, and the value of hitouts. I reckon we've got it wrong at the moment.
Eventually wore them down the Bulldogs.
They got there eventually. They got there eventually.
Probably the defining factor that won them the game in the last quarter was there. They started to win out of the middle and surge forward, but Maxi Gorn was a bit the same on. When was that game?
Thursday,
where he had ruck dominance for such a long time. We're going to let you go shortly. Fremantle and the West Coast. I'm a little with Freo, a bit like the Saints. I think the effort is there.
Yep.
I think the system's always been reasonably strong. And, at one stage it looked like West Coast were going to beat them by 10 or 12 goals.
Mm.
And they hung in really well.
Yeah. There's a couple of clangers in that game, a critical start. Reece Conn, he just missed the tug, I think it was three times. A couple of them are really critical turnovers when Fremantle was still in with a sniff. And it just, it was almost like the rest of the team just took a downward spiral as a result of it.
Particularly when you're in the game and you expel so much effort to try to have those opportunities. They can be really flattening. I think that's what happened to Port Adelaide a little bit against the Tigers on the weekend. That same sort of opportunity missed syndrome, but they fought it out. Fremantle.
Mm.
It's a bit like sort of the Carlton Collingwood games. Those big rivalries, regardless of where you are on the ladder. Same with the showdowns. Those Western Australian derbies. They're always good games, regardless of where the teams are on the ladder or what their ladder position suggests.
Just quickly, we haven't touched on Collingwood, Gary. Can we just touch on them just quickly? Did you see this game? What are they doing at the moment? I've watched them play the last 3 weeks, and there's this really slow, deliberate build-up off half-back.
Yep.
What do you think is the method behind that? Because they've got a good front half. If you get the ball there quickly with time and space, they're going to beat most of their the defensive opponents.
What it looks like, and again, this is just an observation from what we see, is it looks like they've been seduced into playing that possession mark kick style because it was so effective for them against Richmond early in the year. So it looks like they've fallen into that and just trying to play perfect footy. So the first half, Mason Cox was unsighted because every time they went inside 50, they were looking to find an uncontested mark. They weren't prepared to just kick it in, take the contest on, let Mason run and launch. They made the adjustment in the second half. They've got gears, Collingwood, so they changed gears. They put Degoe into the midfield. He was in the centre bounce for two times in the first half, 11 times in the second half. They started to get a little bit more midfield dominance and just ground it out, just found a way to win, really. But they need to, I think, get back to what they were last year, which was build it up, and then take territory, bring your smalls into play. Elliott and Degoe is an interesting one, the dynamic between those two players, because they both like to be the target. Elliott's not a great, he's capable, but he's a lead mark.
He's a mark player. Yeah.
So just that dynamic change, what that can do to a group and a forward line that functioned really well last year, and their unpredictability was their greatest strength. Hoskin Elliott,
Stevenson.
Majacek, Stevenson. They all kicked 30-plus, so they weren't super predictable.
They almost outsmarted themselves, Collingwood, on Friday night by going so slow. You always think about the opposition, I do, as a defender, and the Bulldogs defenders went down to their respective jobs and their hearts would have been racing. How am I going to go on a fast break? How am I going to go Cox in the air? How am I going to go Elliot the ground? And they just looked up and watched the ball go from side to side to slow. They would have looked at each other and started laughing and saying,
how good's this?
What were we worried about? It was terrible.
And when the game's there to be won, what do they revert to?
Exactly. What has served them so well? Get it on, get it going quickly. Rui, we need to let you go. SEM Breakfast for Melbourne Airport Long-Term Car Park, $99 for 7 days, even cheaper if you book online. And Vaughan Construction's Victorian Master Builder of the Year. What I can tell you is the text message feedback, they love having you in here. We love having you in here. We'd prefer it for an hour.
He's brilliant.
I think we all would, Gary.
Well, you know, chop yourself around a bit. Not much we can do about it.
Well, mate, I'll just do what the bosses tell me.
Thank you for coming in. We will see you next Monday morning.
Hopefully for a full hour.
Yes, we'll be back.